I have a word that's burning in my heart for this prayer meeting and for people who are with us tonight online, who will be with us again in the future. And if I were to give it a title, I would call it a word for those whose futures have been stolen. You know who you are online. You know who you are here in the sanctuary tonight. As soon as I said that, you can nod your head and say, if ever there were a word perhaps for me, I feel like my future was stolen by somebody, and it's left me in a place of emptiness and hopelessness. And a lot of people get involved in addictive behaviors. They become victims of patterns of behavior in their own lives, anger, inability to bond with other people, all because at some point in life, their future was stolen from them. I want to just read to you some of them that I highlighted of the prayer requests that are coming in tonight. Here's one in California, filing for divorce after 38 years of marriage, praying for reconciliation, forgiveness, and salvation. From New York, a prayer request for my 18-year-old brother. He recently began using different substances and struggling with depression and suicidal thoughts. Now, very often, you can take these prayer requests and you bring them down to a single event. Something happened in somebody's life that started this whole chain reaction, because we can spend the whole time dealing with drug addiction and such like, but that's really not what the problem is. It's deeper than that. Another one, pray for my sister in Brazil. She's suffering from depression. She's been in an abusive marriage for 46 years. And there's somebody whose future was stolen by the person that they married. In New York, again, pray for my marriage. We're living separately and can't seem to reconcile despite attempts. Only God can help us. India, Lord, this new year, help me to be delivered totally from lying, stealing, gossiping, slander, and double-mindedness. I want to be free and I want to serve you. Colorado, pray for the power to be a Christian, to be healed of anger and stubbornness. Pray for healing for my daughter of schizophrenia this year. From the U.S., I'm an underachiever and haven't accomplished anything. I never went to college. Pray for Jesus to touch my life this year. California, I've been going to church but have no power to leave sin. Please pray for my life. From Alaska, pray this year will be the year I quit drinking and get saved, to start being a servant to my wife and family and start going to church. Toronto, Canada, pray that in 2017 it'd be a year for families to come together and forgive each other because Jesus Christ forgave us and loves us. From Arizona, pray for the Lord's love and to be a good dad and a grandfather, for his love and for his forgiveness to fill my heart. From Alaska, Lord, I need a miracle to get me off drugs, alcohol, and sex. Make me a real Christian and to have mercy on my soul. From Wasilla, prayer for a miracle in 2017 that my husband sells out and falls in love with Jesus and my son start going to church. From Alaska again, 2017, pray that my dad gets saved, comes looking for me, acknowledges me, and loves me. I've never met him. I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 27 with me, please. Genesis 27, beginning at verse 38. Father, in Jesus' name, God, oh God, speak to us. God, deliver your people. Set your people free. Let this be a profound moment in history for many. The moment where people whose futures have been stolen by the thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy would discover the one who said, "But I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly." God Almighty, help us all to escape the chains of the past and to find the future that you have for each of us. Give us the grace, Lord, to receive the healings that you want to do, even while we pray tonight. Lord, so many situations are the result of somebody having had their future stolen. You are the only one that can give it back. And so, Lord, we open our hearts to you tonight, and I ask you to give back to people the future that was stolen from them, as only you can. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Verse 38, Genesis chapter 27. And Esau said to his father, "Have you only one blessing, my father? Bless me also, O my father." And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Then Isaac, his father, answered and said to him, "Behold, your dwelling shall be of the fatness of the earth and of the dew of heaven from above. By your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother. And it shall come to pass when you become restless," the original King James says, "when you have the dominion, that you shall break his yoke from your neck." So Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, "The days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then I will kill my brother Jacob." I want to just speak, I don't want to get into the details of the whole story. I want to speak to you this story from the viewpoint of Esau. Now we know that there were two brothers, and the oldest Esau was to inherit a blessing. In other words, he was to be given a future, a phenomenal future. I don't want to talk about his part in the abdicating of that promise, but I want to speak to you from how he would have seen the situation. We all have a part sometimes in what our life has become. And sometimes our thinking is not always clear on it. But Esau, he was supposed to be given this future, an incredible future, just like you and I were to be given when we were born, when you were a child. No, there's very few children at 3 and 4 years old that feel they're going to be a loser. There's very few children that are young. There are some, of course, but there are very few that don't have this sense of optimism for the future. This sense of there's something in my life I have ahead of me, and it's going to be a good life and a joyful life, and I'll be blessed and I'll be happy. And God put that in you. Nobody starts out saying, "I'm going to be sad, I'm going to get robbed, I'm going to lose hope and have my future stolen from me." But quite often in people's lives, just as Esau would have seen it, somebody stepped in and stole that blessing. Jacob stepped in. When the blessing time came for Esau's life, Jacob, his brother, stepped in. And through a series of events, he actually stole the blessing from his brother. And I think of the numbers of people in this world today that at some point in your life, somebody stepped in and stole the blessing. The blessing of purity, for example, the blessing of innocence was stolen. In some cases, when you were just a child. In other cases, when you were a teenager. You didn't anticipate this thing happening until suddenly one night the door opened and in came somebody that you once trusted and stole the blessing from your life, stole your future, stole your sense of innocence from you. Your hope, the feeling of purity, your joy was stolen from you. Somebody, the words they spoke over your life, they so wounded you, they went down so deep into your soul, you still can't escape them even today. And there's something got into your heart because you feel that somewhere along the line, somebody you trusted, somebody you looked to, somebody who should have been there, like this young person that says, "Pray that my father, whom I've never met, come back and acknowledge me and want to get to know me." There's a young person writing in a prayer request to say, "This person, because of his selfishness, stole something from my life. A sense of worth and belonging and being wanted." And many of you understand that tonight. You know what that feels like. You know the ache. I had a young boy one time come on the platform here after one of our events in this church, and about 8 years old. And I just looked down, I congratulated him. I said, "You did a great job." I forget what he'd been doing, singing in the choir, doing something. And I said, "What would you like me to do for you?" And he looked at me and said, "Would you pick me up?" He'd always wondered what it would feel like to have a father pick him up. And when I picked him up and I held him in my arm, and he started shouting all over the platform, "Hey, everybody, look at this, look at this." To him, it was a huge moment. But you see, there was a hole in his heart because somebody, and most times because of selfishness, most times, abdicated the responsibility and walked away, leaving that person feeling like their future was stolen. There'll always be an ache in my heart. And you know, when somebody has done something to you, it produces something that you become a servant to. You know, his father said, you will serve your brother. And when you're bitter, you serve that person. Whether you want to or not, you serve them. The hatred in your heart makes you a slave to them. You, in your mind, start wishing them harm even. You start to hate. But God gave this man Esau, he was so hated what his brother had done to him. You stole my future. And in his heart, he said, I'm going to kill him. Whether it's just in my imagination, whether it's just me wishing ill in this person's life, fantasizing in my mind, harm coming to them in the future, torment, something like that. See, when you're a bitter person, you become a slave to the person that you're bitter towards. And you become doomed to repeat that pattern of behavior. Many, many people are on drugs, depressed, suicidal, and if you really dig down, you'll find that somewhere, somebody stole their future. That's the way they feel. That's why people, not in every case, but in many cases, have to deal with these behaviors and turn. They can't succeed in relationships because there's something inside of them that's not right. It's not healed. And his father told him, he said to Esau, you will live by your sword and you will serve your brother. But here's his promise. Amazing. He said, but it will come to pass when you become restless that you will break his yoke from off your neck. When you get to the point, Esau, where you say, this is enough of this, I'm not living in a place of hate any longer. I'm not living in a place of regret about what could have been when God has given me a promise about what will be in my life. I'm not living there anymore. I am getting up and I'm getting out of this place because I have a yoke around my neck because I have not been able or willing to let go of the past. But by the grace of God, I am not agreeing anymore with the thief who came to steal, kill, and destroy in my life. He is a liar and he is the father of all lies. I'm turning tonight and I'm going to believe the one who came to me and said, but I have come, Jesus, the Son of God, that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Irrespective of your past, irrespective of what somebody did or didn't do, somebody who was or wasn't there, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. I looked up this original word because it's translated into so many different forms. In the original King James says, when you have the dominion, or in other words, it means when you get the victory. The most common translation would be when you become restless. In other words, when you get to the point of saying, enough of this, enough of this. I'm not living in a place where I'm killing my brother over and over again in my mind. Because the only thing there is addiction and dysfunction and broken relationships and depression and thoughts of suicide because you become like what's in your mind and in your heart. When you become restless. And so we assume that at some point in Esau's life, he just said, well, enough of this, enough hating my brother, enough living as a slave to the past. I'm getting up and I have an inheritance according to my father and I'm going to get the inheritance that is mine. And we know that that happened because from wanting to kill his brother Jacob, when Jacob finally comes back home and Jacob is afraid of Esau because Esau is a hunter. Esau is stronger than he is probably physically. Esau is thoroughly capable of killing him, and he knows it. And Jacob gets up and comes home, and when he meets Esau, he sends gifts to try to appease him. And Esau says, keep your gifts to yourself. Welcome home. I have everything that I need. Praise be to God. You know, you can get to the point where the person who hurt you can come and ask for forgiveness, and it really doesn't matter if they do or don't anymore. It really doesn't matter. You've already let it go. Long ago, you let it go and say, I got something from God for myself. I got a life. I got the life that God has for me. And I'm not living in the past, and I'm not going to be robbed anymore, and I'm not going to live regretting the past, and I'm not going to let anybody else take away from me what is mine. I hope, those that are listening to me online, that 2017 is a year that you become restless. A year that you say, I'm going to forgive. I'm going to walk away from the past. I'm going to stop blaming people for doing things to my life, and I'm not going to use it any longer as an excuse for my behavior. And I'm sick of the dysfunction in my own life. I'm going to love my wife as Christ loves the church. I'm going to be a wife. I'm going to be a husband. I'm going to be a son. I'm going to be a daughter. I'm going to be the person that God designed me to be, not what I became because somebody was put in my path that threatened to take away my future. You watch when you get up and get a hold of what Christ died to give you. Not only will you be healed, you'll become a healer. You'll become an agent of the healing of God. You'll become a voice for righteousness. You become the one who realizes that Jesus Christ came to set me free from the wounds of my past, to heal my broken heart, to set me free from the places of captivity that came into my life because of the wounds that were there. And I'm done with this prison. I'm done with living in hate, with hate in my heart. I'm done with desiring vengeance. I'm over it. I'm finished. I'm getting up. I'm going into the promised land of Christ that's there for me. He said he would give me his purity. My purity may have been stolen from me when I was a young person. My trust may have been stolen. But Jesus Christ cannot lie to me. He will never fail me or forsake me. And he died to give me back the virtue that this world tried to take out of my heart and out of my life. He died to make me whole. That is what my testimony is to be for him in my generation. And so I'm praying for a restlessness. A restlessness. Something gets into your heart and says, I'm not living here anymore. I'm done with this. I'm done. I can't go back, and that wrong can't become right. But I can move ahead, and I can be set free from the grip of the darkness that wants to get a hold of my life because of what happened in my past. I'm going to lay hold of God, and God's going to give me the grace that I need. That whether they do or don't ever ask for forgiveness, it doesn't matter anymore. I've found the life that God has for me. I've got my future back. Because the future that God gives, nobody can steal it. Amen. Nobody can take it away. Praise be to God. There is such incredible healing in Jesus Christ. We are taken beyond in him where we ever could have gone naturally. We're given not just life, we're given new life. We're given abundant life. We're given a full life. We're given a productive life. We're given a joyful life. We're given a meaningful life. We're given a life where we become instruments of healing for others. Signposts that show the way to a place where people can be healed. But it all starts when we get restless. And so come to pass, when you become restless, then you shall break his yoke from off your neck. So come to pass, Esau, when you become tired of the bitterness, you become tired of the blame, you become tired of having your face ground down in this circumstance over and over again, when you say in your heart, I've had enough of this, you will break that yoke from off your neck. That weight, that crippling power, that thing which makes you into something that God never destined you to be. When you become restless, that yoke will be broken off of your neck, and you will become a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old things will pass away, and behold, all things will become new. You will have a new heart. You will have a new mind. You will have a new spirit. You will have a new song. You will have a new future. You will have a new life, a life that only God can give. You will have the power to let go the grievances of the past. Praise be to God. From wanting to kill his brother to saying, "You don't need to give me anything. I have everything I need. Welcome home." The man who stole his future, he says, "Welcome home. Welcome home." Praise be to God. You and I can get there. We can get there. That somebody, maybe this young person, one day, your father will come back. And instead of being bitter, you can say, "Welcome home. You don't owe me anything. God has given me everything that I need." Hallelujah.